case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Pizza gives me uncomfortable gas.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
That's it. Game over. The Houston Texans blow out the Dallas Cowboys on the road, 34-10. They snap their two-game slide and build their record to 7-4 with the Titans at NRG Stadium up next.
That's right. It's that kind of party, y'all. No pizza. No pizza at the party, though. No pizza at the party because clearly, as I said right there, it gives me uncomfortable gas. No pizza at the party. But let me tell you what, man. There was after the Texans flew up to Dallas and skull drugged them Cowboys to the tune of 34-10. And boy, I had on sad face Jerry all over the damn TV up there.
Quick ass Cowboys.
Man, it was a good feeling. It was a good feeling because the organization, top to bottom, is just simply the best. And it's not even a question. Top to bottom, it's simply the best in the great state of Texas. You just heard that last call right there by Mark Vandermeer. Nobody needed it more than Mark did. It was absolutely beautiful. Maybe Andre, but nonetheless, that sounded good. Let's get a little more of that, T. Let's get a little more of that. Let's go in the locker room and really soak this thing up. Here's D'Amico Ryan's locker room post-game to his team in Dallas directly off the field.
Hey, man, hey, great job, man. Hey, proud of you guys. All right, we talked about bouncing back stronger, right? That's a strong comeback right there, all right? Love how you guys were dialed in all week, all right? And it showed up on the field, all right? And it showed up in a lot of different ways, all right? Yeah. First off, all right, playing fast and aggressive in the run game. Mm-hmm. That first game ball right here, 3 touchdowns on 100 yards. Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Defense, right? We knew we had to step up. First off, we said we had to handle 88. Okay. Steam, I asked him to travel with 88. He did that. All right? One pick, locked 88 down all night. 2 pads defended. Great job, Steam. Right. And one more, baby. Anytime we score on defense, I'm fired up. All right? I'm fired up. All right? We carry for that. One strip sack for a touchdown.
Ain't no party like a post-game winning post-game party. All right. He almost sounded a little bit, was that DMX? He almost had a little DMX right there.
He's about to go in there.
He could very easily ease into a little DMX right there. There's no party like the plane ride home. I don't know that Nick. I don't know that Nick and D'Amico's letting them let that hair down a little bit the way that Jerry and Ocampo did back in the day. But boy, we had some we had some hellacious flights back from. Let's be honest; it didn't matter if we got our ass whooped. There was a party on the plane with them
quick
cats.
Flight there.
Yeah.
I don't have time to have a bad time.
There you have it. Just want to take you into the locker room there. By the way, it is a Texans tickety Tuesday. It is a tickety Tuesday. By the way, if you listen to the drive, you know exactly what I'm talking about. One of them old Texans tickety Tuesdays. If you can't win the tickets, then find you. You know where I'm going with it. You can win tickets right here. 2 of them. I believe they're in the bullpen, ain't they?
On bullpen. They're at front row.
Front row, bullpen. Titans game coming up here. This is big time. You can win Texans tickets. We're going to do it in the 5 o'clock hour?
5 o'clock hour. In fact, first segment of the 5 o'clock hour.
There you go. First segment. Call your mom and them. Call all your friends. Make sure they're listening. You got a better chance of winning these tickets the more ears you got on the radio, baby. And hey, if you want to listen to via the Audacy app, AUDACY, you can do that as well. Download the Audacy app. Take us wherever you go. That way you don't miss the cue to call for them Texans tickety Tuesday tickets to the Titans game right there. Also, real quick, before I get to Bobby Sloak, I'm going to tell you all about Bobby Sloak. Did y'all realize that Joe Mixon broke a record? Joe Mixon broke a record, boys.
What was the record?
I did not.
His 9 touchdowns in a span of 6 games broke a Texans all-time record.
Wow.
Arian Foster. Broke an Arian Foster record.
Huh.
I love Joe Mixon.
6-game span, Arian had 8 touchdowns. Joe's coming.
Coming for him. I think I know where you're going.
Joe, no, I'm just putting it out there now. I mean, I was called a fool now.
No, hey.
I mean,
you said it with your chest.
I mean, I moved so many folks that they picked the phone up and called and told me how stupid I was. Man. But we'll see.
Well, I mean, with that 6-game record.
Just keep an eye on it now.
Living it, baby. Living it.
Just keep an eye on it and circle back to me later on. My man's doing work. But good job. Congrats to Joe Mixon. Big, big, big night last night. All right, let's get to Bobby Slowick. We got to break down Bobby. Breaking down Bobby here. Last week, Bobby was a big time topic. A lot of folks were calling for Bobby Slowick's job.
Is that Slowick losing it?
I didn't quite understand it because I just believe that Bobby Slowick's game plan last week is the winning game plan for the Houston Texans. Now, if they want to ease into some things and maybe as Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs get a little better in this offensive line as a whole, Ron, you talked about the physicality that they showed in Dallas. Maybe they turn over a new leaf there. And maybe down the road they can get to doing some more things and get a little more aggressive. But right now, the quick game, the screen game, and the run game, along with some pretty damn good defense, that is the identity of the Houston Texans. And I hate to break it to everybody out there. But the reality of it is, go watch the best teams in football play. And a huge chunk of what they do early in games and what they do to set up their shots and their different gimmick plays and all that is what a lot of folks want to refer to as dink and dunk, right? That's what good football teams do, is take what defenses give them, get in the flow of the game, and then figure out where you want to take your big shots, where you want to up the risk. And I'm telling you, Ron, one of the most beautiful things about this Cowboy victory, other than just skull dragging the boys, is that Bobby stacked two games, on top of each other here of a tremendous game plan. And I know there's a portion of the fan base that wanted to take Bobby's job and are being critical of Bobby even in this moment. But I thought, I don't know where you're at, Ron, but I thought Bobby Slowick once again did a tremendous job game planning. Although it didn't take much, it was the Cowboys, maybe it would have been a little easier had they been playing football against the Astros, but it was the Cowboys actually. So I don't know that there was much that wasn't going to work against the Cowboys, to be honest, but I was impressed with what they were able to do from a scheme standpoint, a play calling standpoint with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, it worked. It worked, and we saw plays work. We saw some plays that did work. Obviously, that's just going to happen in game, but I mean, it made sense, right? They attacked where they're weak at, and I mean, the Cowboys, you know, I mean, just playing off coverage at times to make it easy, and they took advantage of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, yeah, I think when they execute, it looks a lot different.
Yeah.
When they execute and things look, it makes a lot more sense.
Well, the challenge, right, Ron, with this team, as good as Slowick and CJ and everybody, as good as they were last year, the challenge now is going to be commit to what is going to protect your quarterback. Commit to what is going to protect your offensive line's weakness. Commit to doing the things that are going to give you a chance to win games, give you a chance to stay ahead of the chains, and give you a chance to keep your quarterback upright. And that's all we can ask of Bobby at this point in time, right? And until we see this offensive line protect better, when Bobby does decide to give them opportunities and ask CJ to hold the ball and try to throw it down the field, then we'll move and we'll adjust at that point in time. But right now, this is just flat out where the Texans have to live.
Well, and he mixed it up in this game, right? Like, there were some deep drops.
Yeah, there were some deeper throws.
There was some, like...
A couple.
And you can see, I think that came with Nico Collins returning. That to me, changed and added a little bit of the old element, right? Like, we can't forget, there was a reason Nico Collins was leading the league in receiving yards, yeah, and all of that, and it wasn't just from the quick stuff.
Yeah.
Now they may need to adjust, but that's how he was getting downfield big plays. So he did mix it up some, as well as we see the tank on the deep one coming across, and we see Nico coming down the middle of the field. It wasn't just all quick game.
Yeah.
They mixed it up.
They mixed it up some, but the thing is you've got to set the tone one way. You got to make them defend sideline to sideline. You got to make them defend the run, make them defend the screen, and then all of a sudden – Now you've got windows that are you got the coverage comes up, you can get over the top. The coverage, you know, they try to play a different zone, you can get in the middle of the field and you can settle in those zones. You just create those opportunities. You don't just randomly take those shots. And so what we've seen in the last two games is because CJ was willing to get the football out real quick, real early on and establish that, and they were able to run the football early on and establish that. And whether you're running it to the tune of whatever, you know, whatever happened against Detroit, just running and committing to the run, you're forcing them down into the line of scrimmage and into a tighter coverage, and then you can exploit that. And I love the way that Bobby planned it and the way that Bobby has executed it. Now the thing is, Ron, when you know great teams dink and dunk and take calculated risks. Great teams, great running football teams commit to the run, they grind it out. And the Texans are that's their best bet and their best game plan. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't know. There was a couple of times, to your point, where Bobby got aggressive and threw it down the field and asked the quarterback to hold the football. That's really my only complaint about Bobby Slowick. I didn't understand the third and one call, right? And I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, well, yeah, but Tank got open. He was. It should have made the throw, no doubt about it. I don't like the call from a play call standpoint when you got Joe Mixon against that defense. I don't like that play call. I think you're going to lose more of those than you're going to win, and that's a perfect example of just one little thing goes wrong, the ball comes out of the quarterback's hands wrong, and now you're punting instead of running it. So I didn't like that play call. And then after the defensive touchdown, when the Texans went up 27-10, Bobby got real aggressive in that next drive. He went two or three straight drop back, hard play action, trying to take shots down the field. C.J. Stroud scrambled around for a good chunk on one of them. Then I think it was either incomplete or maybe that was the one that one-hopped Nico Collins. And then I think he got a sack after that on just a regular drop back. Like, I don't know at that point in time. Like, it's 27-10. You got a three-score lead. Let's feed Joe Mixon. Let's feed Damian Pierce. Let's get on this damn plane and get to the house. Right? So those are
trying to get that touchdown, baby.
Yeah, he was trying to put the nail in the coffin. And look, I can look at it also, Ron, and go, hey, you know, they're trying to – there's clearly their quarterback needs a little confidence. They're trying to get some things rolling, trying to get Nico back involved. And maybe
isn't that the same drive where Nico gets the kind of the skinny post that he catches – that he catches and gets down and gets him into the red zone.
I think it was the next drive. I think they punted. Maybe there was a penalty that kept that drive alive. But nonetheless, just that level of aggressiveness on the road, up three scores, like the only way you give the Cowboys any life is if you get a sack on first down and it's second and 30 or second and 25, because, boy, those are some deep play action drops. You know, or you get a sack fumble and you let their defense get a touchdown. The only way the Cowboys got back in it was if something went haywire right there. I didn't like him playing with fire in that particular situation. I didn't like the third and one call. But then the thing about Bobby recently, Bobby went the next time they got the football, he flipped right back to, I don't know if D'Amico gets in his ear and says, hey, man, feed
Joe
Mixon.
They ran it about seven, eight times in a row.
They turn around and hand that sucker to him, man. So I don't know. I thought Bobby did a good job. I did again on my little text line and on my Twitter page at Clint Sterner, by the way. If you want to follow that, I'd greatly appreciate it. But there was a lot of pushback on Bobby about the dinking and dunking and not being aggressive and running the football in the red zone and this and that. Like, I don't know, Ron. For me, anybody that thinks it's a good idea, whether it's next week or against the Cowboys or against, like, if you're still at a point where you want Bobby to be, like, just generally speaking, more aggressive and you're tired of what's worked to the tune of 40 first half points in the last two games, like, I mean, we just have to order another round and keep this thing moving. I do not.
It's just when it doesn't work, Clint.
It's just when
plays don't work. That's
yeah,
where people
I just
get.
Hit that.
Oh, yeah.
You're all right.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. When plays don't work is what is where it is. Whether you know how it was executed,
yeah,
or you know what it was, it's like plays didn't work. Like,
well, I'm over the aggressive word with this team. Like, I need you to be. Like, the way you're playing defense and the way Joe's running the ball and as good as CJ is and just distributing that sucker with these athletes you got outside. By the way, why do you think – we were talking about it last week, and I can't figure out why, but the game plan just completely is different when Nico's out there. And I'm not talking about his ability out there. Like, why do you think, like, for 5 weeks when Nico was out, like, why do you think we never saw, like, a screen to Tank, like, to start a game like that right there?
They're just not confident in it. They ran screens when he was out. It was with Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah. Am I crazy to think like Tank would be the guy that you'd be trying to get touch? Whether it's screen game, quick game, running.
The way they do is reverses and misdirections.
Yeah.
That's how they get him the ball. Clearly, they are not confident in him when it comes to screens.
Yeah.
Because when he was out, it was Hutchinson they would run it to.
That's the wildest thing to me, man. But Nico's back and it worked. So here we are, man. But Bobby Slowick, I thought Bobby Slowick stacked another day on top of that Detroit game. And I really like the direction of this offense. And I don't believe it's dink and dunk. I think it's smart football. I love it's protecting your O-line and protecting your quarterback. I think you'd be ignorant to do anything else. You'd be an idiot to do anything else. And so I love what Bobby Slowick is doing, man.
Bobby's was good, and for the most part, everybody else executed.
They did.
And executed well to get things open. And for the most part, the pass protection was much better against the team. Like, for them to not allow Micah Parsons to kind of ruin the game, I'll give Titus Howard did pretty well. CJ spoke about that in the postgame about Titus Howard. For them to not allow – they got one sack at what Micah Parsons. It didn't just allow him to just ruin the game. So that had to be one of the priorities there. All right, as we continue, like, listen, I know we watched the Texans last night and they dominated a team they needed to. I didn't know it was that – I've watched the Cal. I didn't know it was that bad. I mean, it is bad. It's so bad that – they need to take, I think, maybe a page out of the book of a team that is really ascending right now and do something major to shake this thing up. We'll discuss that next.
It's a special edition Shoppers John Deere Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Special edition as the Texans get that huge victory against the Dallas Cowboys. And Clint, you were right about the Cowboys. I was right about the Jets. We thought both of those teams, I know I thought the Jets would collapse. You thought the Cowboys were going to collapse. And boy, have they ever. I've watched them several games, and it was bad even when Dak was there. Hell, it was bad when Dak and Parsons were there. They were struggling even then as well. But Clint, man, you watched that yesterday and you said it too earlier. When you go along with how many injuries they have and the guys that they're actually putting out there, and then you combine it with that, just the look of quit that it looks like they have gone into, the where you could tell they're not as focused. Man, I didn't know it was that bad, Clint. I mean, it is. It's worse than I think even you delivered. Even you thought it.
That's, oh, no question.
This it quick?
Is. Yeah.
Like, they are.
I didn't think it would look like this either. This team is worse than the team that I played on. The teams that I played on.
The 5-11 teams? Yeah.
They are. They statistically are. There's a stat out there that this is one of the worst teams. Let me pull that thing up real quick.
When I
read this stat, I thought, you got to be kidding me. From ESPN Research, the Cowboys have been outscored by 118 points in five home games this year. That is the third largest margin in any team's first five home games of a season in the Super Bowl era.
Oh, my God.
I played for some terrible, like not very talented Cowboy teams that were like on the backside of, hey guys, we're just not going to win because we got to get the salary cap right. We got to just burn this thing down kind of deal. And we weren't that bad. This ain't all Cooper Rush now. Let's be honest.
No, Dak was there too.
So I mean, it's bad, man. It's bad.
Yeah, it's you look out there. They don't have, and obviously there are injuries there. Like, I think they're missing three of their top four corners. Right, they're Brandon Cooks has been injured. By the way, someone texted and said that really done it for them, to see the look of just disdain on Brandon Cooks' face when they kept showing him on the sideline. Somebody texted and said that really done it for them. Like, it's so bad, and there's so much drama. You know Jerry's going to bring a certain level of drama, and just with the Cowboys thing.
It's so bad, Clint. You talked about they need to clean house. They need to make some real hard major decisions. And I watched last night, and I could see Dak up in the box. And I mean, he's trying to hide his face from making the looks on his face of disgust that he had. They need to make a major move. Like, I mean more than coach. We know they're going to hire a different coach and all that. When I'm watching that yesterday, I'm like, I think Dak is an adult in the room and maybe the only one. But I'm watching that, I'm like, you just can't have CD and Micah on the team at the same time as two of your leaders. Like, it's just like, I know it sounds crazy to move from one of them. And plus, they just signed CeeDee Lamb. But, man, I know Jerry probably ain't going to do it. But I would seriously give some thought to what can I get out of Micah Parsons.
Absolutely.
Because, what'd you say?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm just saying, to have both of those dudes on your team, those are the leaders on each side. With Dak out, those are the two leaders on their side of the ball. And I mean, it was nothing. I mean, Mike is over rolling his eyes the whole way, and he was interested for about 15 minutes. CeeDee Lamb, this the body language on both of them is, you can't have, like, it is, to me, to turn this thing around, and this is kind of close to home. We watch Buffalo really go up a notch when they've removed, for them, at least at their time, the welcome had been worn out. They removed Diggs from the situation, and not just him, other pieces from the situation, but he was the headliner. And they have improved in that locker room. I don't know how Dak deals with it, with these cats. I mean, I'm just watching that. I'm like, this is who's leading this sucker, is these two guys. You can't have them both. You can deal with one of them maybe. You can't have them both, and both with the power and pull that they have in the locker room. I think they got to seriously – they've already signed CD – I think they got to seriously see what they could get from Micah Parsons.
Look, I think they've done it right from that perspective. Like I think you can get away with what CD does, because if Dak was healthy, I think CD would be a little bit more in check, even if they were losing. Micah's the one to me that I just don't know if he's worth it.
There's a part of like, will he grow out of this? Will he grow?
Not in that environment. Like, right, you know, like I think that the bad thing about this is Dallas should move on from him however they can.
And you know they'll get something out of him.
Well, they'll get a little something out of him, but it's not going to be worth it because he'll go somewhere else to another bad organization and do the same stuff over again and produce, and people will be talking about his numbers. Or he'll go to a good organization. Not that we want or need Micah Parsons, but you plug him into an organization like the Texans that just, for whatever reason, they just don't believe in all the way conducting your business the way that Micah Parsons does it. All the chirping, all that crap. Like, either way it goes, you go to an organization like that, he falls in line, he goes and make plays, and everybody goes, well, Jerry, what the hell were you thinking? Bottom line is Micah Parsons in that environment is going to set that thing on fire week in, week out. Talking about the coach, and then they walk it. He walks it back on his podcast. You know, it's just one thing after another with Micah Parsons. And in that environment, you can't have that guy there because that guy's going to do whatever the hell he wants to, and it's gonna keep you from being able to hold everybody around him accountable. Doesn't matter how good he is, it's going to be a problem as long as he's there.
Like the podcast stuff, yeah, I don't love it, and I'm sure organizations don't love it. For me, it is like, is it just me? Or do those guys, when you see their faces after like these plays, and you look at them and they show their faces, don't it look like to them? To me, they come off as they're like, man, the rest of y'all suck.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Y'all sorry 100%. As hell, and I got to be out and here with CD y'all does sorry
it to CD's do it to Cooper Rush. Yeah, and he's like, got to play four quarters.
Like that is the look that you absolutely, get from 100%, both of them. 100%. From both of them, like rolling your eyes. God, y'all suck.
Yep, 100%.
I'm out here. Like, look at what I'm doing. That's what they give off. And I just like, you can have one of those guys that are highly productive to deal with because of the talent. But when you got two of them and then Dak is hurt and he's up there and like Zach Martin's like, man, to hell with this, man. Let's just reel this thing in. Mm-hmm. And he's got to, like, that's the thing for me. That look over there, I'm like, damn, man. Like Cooper Rush, he probably threw that pick that really was Jimmy Ward making a great play of bumping CeeDee Lamb getting over. I bet he was like, oh, damn. Here we go. What are we going to do? And like, it's just, they got to make a move. Someone texted in as well said, and I think they could probably get two first-round picks for Micah Parsons. I don't know if they can
get Micah got 2 years left on his contract or one?
You can. He's a first-rounder, so you can do five. So he can. You
right,
can,
yeah.
So he has two before you technically would have to pay him. So I think, I don't know if people are doing two first-rounders anymore. I don't know the last time.
He becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2026.
After the 26 season.
Yeah. So I feel like teams are staying away from the two first-round picks things now since, of course, like Laremy Tunsil and others. But I think he's gonna get a first. I think he'll at least get a first and a second or something like maybe something doable that would make sense. Just teams are scared to trade away that type of talent. But you're right. I don't know that you better bring in the right head coach and the person that can reach him that he makes a change in that environment. I don't know that it's going to happen. I think they got to make a move. All right. All right, coming up, the one thing that we can say that we saw maybe for the first time all season with the Texans. All season, 11 weeks in, the first thing we saw for the first time all season. We'll discuss that next.
You're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us.
You're going to get hard.
It's a special edition Shoppers John Deere Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up, next segment, your chance to win a pair of tickets on our Texans Ticket Tuesday, a pair of tickets to see your Houston Texans take on the Tennessee Titans. Coming up on Sunday, you'll be in the front row if you win these tickets in the bullpen. Your chance to win those coming up in the next segment. So make sure you're listening at 5 o'clock fire for your chance to win a pair of those tickets. And you could be the latest and last winner as a pair we're giving away on Payne and Pendergast, as well as a pair given away on In the Loop, and you can win our final one today right here live on The Drive. All right, Clint, what was this you're saying? This is the first thing. First time all season you feel confident in saying this about what you watched in the game yesterday.
Well, I think I want to be clear. It's the first time that I've felt this way about the offense for damn sure.
Offense,
But it's – when I was watching the game, I think one of the more, you know, being a Texans fan and covering this football team, there's nothing worse than when you're viewed as a soft football team, as a team that lacks physicality, right? There's nothing worse. And now, for some reason here, it's either coached or allowed on the offensive side of the football, and then it's the exact opposite. It's literally a 180 on the defense. Like, they are swarm and physical as ever. So the offense, it has just been the physicality's been an issue. Ron, as I was watching this game with the Cowboys and the Texans, one of the things that was most fulfilling to me about what the Texans are doing is it was clear early on that the Texans were the more physical football team, which didn't surprise me, but they were so much more physical on offense, special teams, and what I expected to see on defense. They were so much more physical, it had the Cowboys frustrated from jump. You know, it's like, you know the guy like
and in – they knew in, they were, too. That was,
yeah, the whole time. Like, you know the guy in practice and you know, I was a quarterback, so I didn't run into this, but I saw it happen a lot, you know. O-line, D-line going, and an O-lineman gets mad because the D-lineman's going too hard, and so it goes on throughout practice, and about 30 minutes into practice, those two end up fighting because they just – one guy can't handle the physicality, right? Or vice versa, an offensive lineman going too hard on a defensive lineman. They're run blocking, they're pushing them back, and One guy just doesn't like the level of physicality, and instead of being physical back, he wants to fight, gets frustrated, wants to fight. It seemed to me, which that's a beautiful feeling, though.
That's
a beautiful, beautiful place to be in when you're the more physical football team and you know you're in their head from jump. And this is the first time since I've been covering the Texans, which I don't think they've ever been known as a physical bunch. I think you can take some of JJ's defenses that we covered late in his career that I'm talking about teams that I covered, by the way, not all Texans teams not being physical. The teams that I covered, which is the last 6 years, I don't know that we've ever had like just an unbelievably physical group. Like when you watch, for whatever reason, when you watch Kansas City's defense right now, when you watch Pittsburgh's defense play, a lot of times when you watch Baltimore overall play,
their offense, their offense is like especially their physicality.
Well, it just jumps off the screen, right? I saw that last night from the Texans, and look, it was,
you know, they were the Niners. That's their dream.
Yes,
their dream.
There you go. Well, it was beautiful to watch. Even if it were just for one game, it was beautiful to watch. And I didn't be honest with you, I didn't even think about it until you and I started talking about it of maybe they turned the corner, maybe this is a different, maybe this team has decided they're going to be on the physical side. But nonetheless, it was just a beautiful thing to watch the Texans just continue in all three phases of the game, get frustrated because the Texans were just
Cowboys, yeah.
The Texans were just too physical.
And they couldn't do nothing about it.
There's nothing to do about it. All the way down to the end, when you mentioned earlier, Robert Woods blocking Michael Parsons, and instead of shedding the receiver and going and trying to chase the rundown or whatever, he gets into an alligator, starts rolling with Robert Woods. I mean, it's come on, man. Like that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. But it was all game and all of them. It's got to be fulfilling as a team and as a coach, D'Amico, that pushes this physicality. It's got to feel good for him to realize in the middle of a game, like, yeah, they don't like this. They don't like this kind of fight.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than when you got to do something and you know that you can't do that.
Yes.
But you got to keep trying to do something, but you know you just get frustrated. That's what I'm saying is the Texans walked in. I don't know if they were confident because listen, Clint, as we've talked about, every team has pushed the Cowboys around like this.
Yeah.
Damn, just like, I don't know if the fronts, you know, defense, O-line, whatever, I don't know if they walked in knowing it, but everybody knew, like, they don't really want this. And we can come in there, when you know you can whoop somebody's ass, like, you come off the ball hard.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
I mean, you come out there. You
walk
can't
right
wait
out there and punch them dead in the mouth. You don't do a lot of talking.
Right, and you sprinting to the ball.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get off the ball to lay them out. And they knew it. And, yeah, that was something else. And as I said before, man, one of my favorite parts of the game was, like, there's at times where you're like, some of them big dudes on offense, they're all right with just looking punked, looking
right.
Like they're getting punked.
Are they soft and okay with
like
it?
Like there's some moments where it's like, and I remember CJ on the sideline against the Packers game, and nobody came over. It took everybody a while to come over.
Yep.
There's been some moments like where you're like, damn, man, you ain't gonna just keep kicking my ass like this and I'm just getting up and going back to the huddle and take it. But yesterday, towards the end of the game, as you just described, the Cowboys, they just got frustrated and was just like, all right, man, to hell with this thing, man. We're gonna cheap shot. We're going to get real aggressive. We're going to try to punk them. And Laremy Tunsil, he's one of the ones that you wonder is he a guy that's into that? No. Laremy Tunsil was face mask to face mask with somebody, took his arms down, pushed him into it. Here comes Shaq Mason, ready for him to get some. Cade Stover, he's ready to get him some. Like, it kept – and the Cowboys, they kept trying to push it up to where I was almost like to a point where, hey, man, D'Amico, man, maybe get some of these important players out. because they going right. Like, it wasn't quite what we saw with the Ravens and Steelers on Sunday where they looked like they were just ready to fight at every single drop.
Right.
But the Texans were in on it. It wasn't going to be like, nah, man, you could just say it's smart to just run back to the huddle and not get involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, y'all not punking us today. And I was happy to see that.
Hell yeah.
Laremy Tunsil is one that you think, man, he's going to go ahead. Him and Titus going to go ahead and hit this huddle.
They're going to ease on back.
Let's get out here these next 4 minutes.
There was also a play where Joe Mixon was downfield 7-8 yards and was kind of getting gang tackled. And Jarrett Patterson, Juice Scruggs, and Shaq Mason, all three at the same time, come blitzing into the screen and hitting the pile and pushing them forward. That kind of stuff right there just gets me. It gets me, man.
Those three kind of seem a little nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little more nuts than the other. But that was something that.
Yeah, when those two tackles start getting involved, you start thinking. It makes you want to think crazy stuff. Like, could this be? Could they get it? Or was that just a Cowboy game? Where
because I tell you, when you talked about that play when Parsons threw him down on the ground. I mean, Titus was right there. Before Robert Woods had to handle it. There have been times where I wonder if Robert Woods was going to have to handle this, or this is going to be like, all right, man, hey, man, just let's talk this thing out. By the way, did y'all watch that arm injury?
I saw it the second time. I didn't see it any other
time. Oh, man. Almost caught me. Almost caught me, boy. I said, because
Was it dangling?
They had to hold it together when he was walking off.
I saw that.
They had to hold that thing together. But what I saw.
I thought his shoulder was out of socket.
Oh, it was their arm. But Courtney lost it. And she doesn't really react like that much with bad things. I'm sitting there, and I see him just laying on the ground. And I clearly see he's in, and the play is still rolling. I'm like, they about to fall on him. Mm-hmm. But he gets up, and I said, ooh, Courtney, he's hurt down there. I said, what happened? I said, because I could see he was just down like this. His arm wasn't moving. They showed that replay for some reason, and she thought her whole elbow and forearm was broken. The rest of the night. She just felt like,
it went that way.
It went that way. I'm just like, I can't do it, boy. I can't do it. That was nasty as hell. And then they walking him off like they got to hold it together.
Yeah,
like
let's get off the field, man. You guys don't deserve a cart. Let's get off the field, man.
Jerry ain't even giving him a cart, man.
Hey, Teak, can I get my Dalton Schultz over 2.5 or what?
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if you wanted to throw it at something else tonight. Double up your money.
Why not?
Oh no, I don't have nothing tonight.
All right, I'll send it away.
That all you did? You got a little 100 on Dalton?
100 on Dalton, 100 on Mixon over yardage. 2 for 2, baby.
Yeah, Tyler probably had a nice night, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
I would think. I saw C.J. Stroud leak out for that long run. He may have had it by then, but I said he definitely had it.
The only one he missed was one of the ones I liked was Nico's.
Yeah, that was the one I thought.
Yep, Nico's the only bet I did not hit.
I felt real good about it right off the jump.
Mm-hmm.
I said he's going to get about 2 or 3 screens tonight. And they came right off the bat with one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I think he had 5 receptions, Nico, right?
I think he had four.
4.
4 yeah. for 50.
That's better. I was about to say, if that screen at the beginning would have counted, then would have hit.
Or if the one that got turned over.
Yeah.
Turned over
the
late,
one where, the one he, where he really two, suckered man. Me, boy. I said, he caught that. He said he caught that. Maybe that bounce had to bounce off his hands the way that he is acting like that. Yeah, someone texted in and said, hit him in the mouth. Nobody likes to get hit in the mouth like in Cyprus. No. And when you mix in, we can't do nothing about it, and we 3-6, it's about ready to shut it down time. Quit time. Oof.
We got 2 more months of this crap. Yeah.
And then you got people like Michael Parsons, who's doing nothing but rushing the passer and just opening up lanes for Joe Mixon all throughout. He's doing nothing but trying to get sacks all night long. Yeah, man, that was good. Good to see that physicality. Now, as we turn the page to tomorrow, Clint, bring that same energy against them jokers up front next week, because it's a little different thing with Sweat and Simmons and Landry. Like it's a little different thing. But you got to bring that same energy with trying to dominate those dudes. It ain't going to be as easy to push them cats around. All right, coming up next, your chance in the next segment to win a pair of tickets. So make sure you're listening. A pair of tickets to see your Texans play those Tennessee Titans on a Texans Ticket Tuesday that's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour for a little 5 o'clock fire right here live on The Drive.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.